This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They're coming for your souls. I keep saying it over and over and over again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're not only coming for your souls, they are coming to mess you up. Not just beat you, but dispatch you. That's
the Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, ESPN NFL analyst Robert Griffin III. Coming up, Bills running back James Cook. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Roku channel. If you missed the first 2 hours, Jay Billis breaking down the NBA draft and just... he throws around compliments like the ones that he gave in regards to Victor Wembanyama, like the proverbial manhole covers. He rarely speaks in the manner in which he did about Wembanyama. And if you missed that and his stance on how he would take the 19-year-old Wembanyama over the 18-year-old LeBron James in this year's draft, if you missed all of that, and if you missed Robert Griffin III, talking about the state of affairs in Buffalo, as we will about to hit in brief with an actual Buffalo Bill, James Cook, in a second. If you missed Robert Griffin III on DeAndre Hopkins and his potential future, then stay right where you are. As soon as this hour is over, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210. We say hello to our terrestrial, Sirius XM, and Odyssey listening audiences, our podcast listeners who are listening whenever you darn well please. It's your right. When you are listening on demand, video on demand, that's also something that you can get through our Roku channel relationship through the Rich Eisen Show collection. There's our YouTube page and, of course, our podcast where all podcasts are acquired. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show is the man atop the running back depth chart in Buffalo as we currently speak, going into the final throes of the month of June. He is none other than James Cook, formerly of Georgia football, now of the Buffalo Bills organization. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, James?
How you doing?
I'm great. Before getting into what's going on with your team and yourself and everything else going on, I do want to jump in real quick with something that I saw on Twitter yesterday about what you are doing next Tuesday and what you are doing about heading to Harlem Renaissance High School for their graduation. What are you doing next Tuesday, James Cook?
I'm speaking to the kids, like, about my story and, like, how my life has changed playing football and just, you know, being good people. And, I mean, I just want to give back and just tell a story to kids that probably don't have parents in their lives or, you know, that father figure or guidance. So, you know, I just wanted to tell my story.
But how did you hear about I don't believe you went to this school, correct, James?
No, sir.
So how did you hear about this school and wanted to wind up being their commencement address speaker at graduation next week?
So my agent, his like aunt is like the owner or the principal of the school. So she wanted me to talk and, you know, give a brief speech about me and my life and how I grew up.
And the school reached out to you, and you're pitching in, pretty much.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, can you give me a glimpse? Like, what are you gonna, like, what part of your story do you want to pass along to them, James?
You know, just how I grew up coming out of high school. You know, like how my mom raised us. Like, you know, just stuff that they need to know that are helped them in life. You know.
And so that'll be, are you writing it out? You're going to speak off the dome? What do you got for me, James? What do you got?
Yeah, I got a little speech, but I'm going to say it off the dome.
Okay. All right. Very good. Show off your improvisational skills. I get it.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing about that speech a little bit more. I've got James Cook of the Buffalo Bills here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's just jump in. About your role. What is your role going to be with the Buffalo Bills this year from what you understand right now, James?
Obviously RB1. So, you know, just try to come in and just do what I do. You know, just change the game. Like, my versatility, like catching out of the backfield, you know, pass blocking, you know, just try to do what I can to help the team win games and hopefully win a Super Bowl.
And RB1 meaning what? You start the game? I mean, how many – have you gotten an indication about touches, about, you know, how much you're going to be out there, James?
Oh, that come in preparation and practice, you know. RB1 is running back one, so, you know, I'm going out there first, obviously. So, you know, I'm just – it's come in practice, you know. But I come in and do camp, and, you know, I'm ready to work. You know, this is a big step and a goal in my life. That, you know, I wanted to accomplish, you know, being running back one in the NFL, you know, and just doing what I can do to, like I said, help my team win games and hope that's Super Bowl.
Okay. So, what's your goal this year? Have you written them down somewhere? Your goal?
Of course. My goal is to be an all-pro Pro Bowler, you know, like my brother, you know, hopefully being a Pro Bowler with him one day.
What about your brother? Is it possible? Do you think your brother joins you in Buffalo, James? What do you think?
I think that'll be a little hard.
That'll be a bit hard, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that because you don't want to give up number four to him? Is that what you're saying, James?
Nah, he can't get number four.
Because you took it, right? You took it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I went and earned it.
Okay. So there's really, in your estimation, no – because, again, I understand, you know, you have your role there or whatever, but I imagine you have a goal or a dream that both of you one day do play together on a team, James?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be good, you know, get to learn from him, you know, so – already learned from him, get to learn more things from him, just being in the same room as him. You know, that'll be pretty cool one day.
But do you think he winds up in the same division? How about that, James? Let's go there. What do you think for me
on
that?
It's possible. It's possible. You never know.
Okay. All right. And so then how many, you know, then I guess you got to get one of those split jerseys, right? That's what you'd have to do.
Of course.
Two times a year. I've seen those. Okay. James Cook here on the Rich Eisen Show. What can you tell Bills Nation, Mafia, about Stephon Diggs and what happened last week that might help them potentially put their heads on their football pillows a little bit better, James?
You know, I kind of don't get into what they got going on, but, you know, Diggs is also a great player, you know, a great leader, you know, someone that the team look up to, you know. I mean, it wasn't no big commotion with the team. You know, he just had to get understanding, I guess. And they moved forward with it. Now we're ready to play football.
Okay, so just again, it's I don't know if you're Bluetoothing in your car or something, but when you said what happened last week, you said it wasn't too much of a commotion. What did you say right there, James?
Yes, it wasn't too much of a commotion, you know, because I honestly don't know what transpired that, but things got better and things up, and now we're ready to go.
Okay, so you don't think whatever did occur last week when toe meets ball, training camp, September, there won't be any issue?
No, sir. We ready to go.
Okay. And so, because I, by the way, just so you know, I love Diggs. I love that guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. I love Diggs too.
Well, what do you love about him, James?
Oh, you know, just about the competitiveness he got in him. You know, he's a dog, one of the top receivers in the NFL, and I mean, also a good teammate. You know, that's what people don't see. You know, each and every day.
Well, and again, you know, we in the media always talk distraction this, and this is a problem that. I mean, I'll be straight up with you about last hour of my show. We spent about 15 minutes talking about it, about whatever happened in January still being a problem in June could stand to reason that it will be a problem in September and October. How do you hit that one, James?
I don't think it will be a problem.
Okay. Well, very good. So what do we get you guys in the Super Bowl? Is that what's going to happen this year? Let's go there.
Hopefully if we, you know.
Okay.
You got to go in camp and just work our tail off, you know, and things will come together.
Well,
I mean, we have the pieces.
Well, look, man, it's important for you to ball out, James, to show that people from Georgia don't have to play for the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. You're really striking a blow here, I think. It's an important road that you're on, James, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Okay. You know, I'm also a winner. I won it on every level.
No, I'm a Michigan guy. I'm aware of the you won at every level, James. I'm very, very, very.
Yeah.
I think we've established on your first appearance on this show that you destroyed my New Year's Eve a couple of years ago. Shattered it completely. Caused me to drink a little bit more that night, but it's okay. I reveled. What can you tell me about Stetson Bennett here in Los Angeles and his ability to potentially ball out in the NFL? Give me that one, James.
You know, it's just an opportunity. If it presents itself, I feel like he's going to make it to the best of his ability, and I feel like he's a great player and a great leader. He also a winner. So, I mean, and he's smart. So, you know, all that coming together and him just learning the system and just taking each and every day and working hard, he could be one of the best NFL quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, and again, because so many folks believe and that somebody has to look and have the physical attributes of, say, your quarterback to succeed in the NFL, and that ain't Stetson. So how do you respond to that? What do you say to that, James?
I mean he's a football player, and when he gets a shot, you're going to see it.
Okay, very good. So it's a three-peat for the Georgia Bulldogs this year? Let me write that one down. Do I write that one down?
Well, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Why don't you guys play Alabama every single year in the regular season? What's up with that? How many times do you play Alabama in the regular season, James?
I played Alabama one time in the regular season.
Mm. See, yeah, I mean, what's up with that? I mean, guys, I guess what, you're not natural rivals? Would you consider Alabama your natural rival?
No.
No?
I consider Auburn.
Auburn is your natural rival, not Alabama.
Yeah.
Huh. No. Okay. I'm going to write that one down. I think you might hear for some people on that one. So Alabama's not the natural rival of Georgia Bulldog football.
I don't really think so.
Okay. Why?
Because, like, coming into that game, I mean, you have your antennas up because you know you're playing Alabama in the excitement.
Yeah.
But, like, Auburn, it's like an old school rivalry, like versus Auburn and Georgia. So
not Florida, not the cocktail party in Jacksonville, not Florida.
I say Florida. Matter of fact, I could say between Florida and Auburn.
Okay, I like it, James Cook. I appreciate the time. I'm really thrilled to hear about your commencement address next Tuesday. Because again, I'm being told that the school, Harlem Renaissance High School, didn't have the funds to go pay somebody to speak to the class, and you're doing it out of your own goodwill. And I think that's awesome.
Yes, sir.
And I look forward to that.
Appreciate you, man.
Right back at you, James Cook. Let's chat soon. Let's chat again soon.
All right, man.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You got it. That's number four, and don't take it from him, in your program, number one in the hearts of Buffalo Bills running back fans and Buffalo Bills fans. James Cook. Auburn.
I would say Florida, but...
How is it not Alabama? They're the ones that stand in their way. They're the ones that are on their peers. That they're the ones that are on their par. Like, what are we talking about?
You need to get off of this.
No, I'm not getting off it. I'm not. And I know I'm out of my Big Ten lane. I get it.
Yeah.
I totally know.
Georgia, Florida is the rivalry.
I get it.
They play every year.
And the world's in Jacksonville, world's largest cocktail party. I've heard of it.
Although I don't think we're supposed to say that anymore.
Why?
I don't think they call it that anymore.
Oh well.
Yeah, they're not in Georgia.
Well, I'm from a different era.
You got to move on.
Okay, thanks very much.
I'm happy that you play Ohio State every year.
And Michigan State.
Well, who's your rival?
Yeah.
Oh, Ohio State.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the school you share a state with?
Nope.
Okay.
Nuh-uh. And Michigan State fans know that. That upsets them. Greatly.
Because
Michigan is their
is
rival.
Their rival.
Correct.
Right.
And then we turn around and say, that's nice. And that upsets them. That's why, you know, their coach finds it funny when they all lock arms together and walk through Michigan warming up and knock one of the players over. And he acts all like, oh, we didn't know we did that. That's why that happens. And Mel Tucker, you know,
but you were probably
shuts down players from appearing on this show. That's what it's like from them to this seat. And we turn around and say, okay, got it. That's nice. Because we got a big game in November. That's the one. What? Am I not speaking truth here?
I don't know.
Okay. In the same way, clearly, I'm understand.
I've
Georgia
been explaining this to you for like 2 or 3 years.
Coach from Alabama and turns their program into one that so far more successful than Alabama.
So just because they took that coach, they should play each other now every year?
Damn straight. What? Damn straight.
Here's why. Here,
as you know,
way,
we're redoing,
I know the reason.
We're reimagining.
I know the reason why you want them to play each other in the regular season.
No. Yeah. This is not a me thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it 100% is. 100% is. You want them to play each other in the regular season, so the loser is basically out.
No.
Which makes it easier for Michigan to then somehow make the Final Four, in which you will get embarrassed like you have every single time you've made the Final
Excuse me. May I now speak?
Well, you can't refute what I'm saying.
I am absolutely going to refute what you're saying. Michigan has not, even in its remarkable run that Michigan has been on. Notice I didn't say we because I don't suit up for them. Michigan.
You might as well.
Them and the Jets.
No, they don't need. They don't need me suiting up. You've seen my 40. I'm not winding up on the wall of the locker room. Let's put it that way. That's Brady's turf.
Nice.
Okay. But Michigan has not shown the ability to be better than Georgia or Alabama right now. We're better. We're more improved. We've beaten our rival 2 years in a row, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a new world, too. Georgia losing to Alabama or Alabama losing to Georgia during the regular season, it's not going to knock them out of the playoffs now. There's going to be 12 teams now.
When it goes to 12.
Correct.
Yeah, it's not
That's what
matter.
I'm saying. It's a new world right now. It's just that this is where it comes to me, and my problem is my school must play its blood rival and, as it turns out, best team in the conference other than them.
Because you're in the same division.
Year in and year out.
You're in the same division.
Not anymore. It's now going to be a big old mosh pit.
There you go.
Which, to the point now, is an issue for a lot of people that Michigan and Ohio State might play each other in back-to-back weeks now. Because Michigan and Ohio State play the last game of the regular season every year. That might be for nothing because they've already clinched the top two spots in the conference. So now Michigan and Ohio State might play each other 2 weeks in a row, with the big one being for the Big Ten championship.
So because just stop playing in the regular season and play in the Big Ten title.
That's for the SEC, where it just means more, except the two teams that are the best year in and year out in the conference that is reimagining its schedule decides still not important to play each other every year.
Because Georgia being a national power is a recent development.
Yeah.
True. But now we're reimagining everything.
But the schedules are made a decade in advance.
Well, redo them. You can redo them. It's simple. Redo them.
How much do you want the goalpost moved for your argument in this?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But everything that I'm saying is not impossible. It's not impossible.
I mean,
Michigan.
Getting things done in college football is impossible.
Michigan plays USC and UCLA together in the first year that they're both, those two new schools are in the Big Ten, and then they play neither of them the next year. They decided to split them up for Ohio State, where they play one in 2024 and one in 2025. Get it? Still over a 2 year span, they play the same number of times. I'm saying that it's new. They're making it up now. They just made it up now. And the now is when Georgia is back-to-back champions of the entire sport. And Alabama's coach is rightfully telling Joel Klatt, you're choosing the teams with the best records, not the teams that are the best to go play. That's now old school. We don't have to worry about that anymore because Georgia and Alabama are going to make it because they're two of the best programs in the sport where arguably the SEC is the best conference in the sport. And the two best schools should play each other every year, and they have the ability to make that happen now. Let's ride. Where it just means more.
We're not going to have conferences soon in college football.
I guess we could sit here and say a meteor could hit us all and none of this matters, but yes.
California schools are now in the Big Ten.
I know, it's
conferences
crazy.
Are over.
I'm saying to you, Georgia and Alabama should play each other every year.
And I say they do.
Well, if they have to, you know, in circumstances.
In the SEC championship. How is that not good enough for you?
Because they don't play each other when during the regular season, and they should. They should. The NFL has first place teams from the previous year have to play each other the next year in the conference.
The NFL and college football are not the same.
Ask an SEC fan.
They're not.
The NFL's ninth division, according to them.
Not the same.
Okay. Another good chat where TJ just sits here and watches us joust.
I mean,
because Penn State doesn't have a seat at this table. Oh, I'm loving it. I'm really.
Penn State's going to be good next year.
Great. Can't wait to see him.
So what's up? Is that it?
Yeah. Penn State's going to be great next year?
Yeah, I think they're preseason top five.
Good.
We are.
Look forward to it. Because we got to play them too.
Better beat them.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Baseball is all freaking out because replay failed it last night.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen. Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
It was 96, and it was the week before the Michigan-Ohio State game. You know, I got to practice. I wasn't feeling well. My back was a little tight, and I told the trainer, you know, my back is not feeling right. He was like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. So, you know, we're in practice, and he calls me over a couple of times.
Coach
Carr.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, you know, you're not paying attention. He said, hey, if you're not going to pay attention, then you can just leave. And I turned around. I walked out the field, walked into the locker room, put my clothes back on. I walked to the dorm, and I was like, man, I'm transferring. I'm out of here.
You walked out on Coach Carr and Michigan practice, Ohio State week, saying, I'm leaving.
I'm gone. Going to Coach Carr's office. You know, he asked me a question. He's like, you think you justified yourself by walking off the field? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think you had to make an example out of me. He was like, you know what? Well, you're not playing this week. I walked back down to Vance Beffer's office. He was like, told you. Just go down there and just apologize. You know what? He picks up the phone. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Miss Woodson, I told this boy to go down there and apologize, and that's all he had to do. Here, you talk to him. So I'm talking to my mom. She was like, what's the problem? I'm like, you know, my coach wants me to go down there and apologize. I'm like, I'm not apologizing. She was like, Charles. She said, I understand. I know you're mad and you're angry. She said, if you're not going to apologize for yourself, then do it for me.
Oh, boy.
come on, man. So I said, okay. I get up, I go down.
Did it for mom.
I did it for mom, man. Apologized to coach. He said, well, you know what? Good, Charles. You're playing this week.
And you know who introduced Charles at his Hall of Fame induction? His mom. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. A replay in Major League Baseball, as you know, they were dragged into it kicking and screaming, right? Dragged into it kicking and screaming, and pretty much every sports league was. Some still are. The NBA, to me, is still way too stingy on replay. And these coaches hold on to their replay challenges like it's the most valuable commodity in the world. They will not use it in the first half. Precious. Doesn't matter how egregious it is.
Save it for the last minute of the game.
And sometimes it's not needed. Yeah. You know, when you needed it, it was in the first half when your player picked up a second foul or a third foul. Or you could have used it to wipe a field goal off the board. And, you know, that shot came in a final balance of the final score. And they're just way too stingy with it. And I know that would extend the NBA game or whatever, but you get one right, you should get another one in the NBA. And they don't do it. It's just one and that's it. One and done. And the NFL, I remember the first owners meeting, annual league meeting for the NFL that the NFL Network covered in 2004 at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. The league voted on replay to make it permanent in 2004, this century. They voted to make it permanent, and that was a big to-do. The Raiders abstained because that's what Al Davis always did, and the Bengals, Mike Brown, voted against it. And I remember competition committee head Charlie Casserly speaking to the owners saying, look, everybody's got it on their new, you know, high-definition television sets, like, at home.
Plasma back
right?
then.
Plasma set, right? Plasma. Everybody's got it at home. We might as well use it. If they have it at home, we should have it at the games. And owners were convinced, and it's still being tinkered with.
Rich, you got to do it in Charlie's voice.
Yeah, see, we gotta hear. Oh, whatever. Charlie. I always sound like the frog from Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse. I'm dating myself. My God.
The Marx Brother.
But... baseball was the one dragged in kicking and screaming, right? And to the point where they just a year ago followed what I was pounding this table for over and over and over again, is make the umpire the crew chief at the Winky Dinky Dog of Major League Baseball. Crew chief.
Winky Dinky Dog.
Go from assistant crew chief to crew chief.
I mean.
So,
batty, batty, batty.
Great Hollywood Shuffle friend over there.
Look at you guys.
So, make them announce to the crowd what you're explaining.
Yeah, that's your big thing, right?
Because, you know, they used to come out, and just Country see, Joe West just go, grunt at a base and go, save or out.
Yeah. Caveman.
He no safe. He out. So it all comes down to last night. We're now at the point where baseball replay is being used to challenge whether a rule is being appropriately applied. A player safety rule is being appropriately applied. The Buster Posey rule, if you recall, the great future Hall of Fame catcher, I don't think I'm overstating it, right?
No.
Of the San Francisco Giants, had his leg basically shattered at home plate, blocking the plate. And they're like, player safety, catchers are no longer allowed to block the plate unless they have possession of the ball already. And you got to give the runner free rein to get to home plate sliding.
Within the base path.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I'm generally explaining this rule.
Yeah.
And last night, Jonah Heim of the Texas Rangers tags out Elvis Andrews of the Chicago White Sox to maintain a 6-6 tie in the eighth inning, out at the plate, and the White Sox challenge two things. Did his tag get in time, and did Heim illegally block the plate?
Hit him with the Heim.
And they come out a replay and say Andrews is safe, not because the tag wasn't applied, but because he blocked the plate. And to me, every single replay, every single snapshot you have, Heim's left foot is on the top right corner of home plate. And the home plate for Andrews is way wide open for him to hit.
Perfectly legal.
That right there, he's standing
on the first base side.
On the first base side, he's in the left-handed hitter's batter's box to the point where he would have been hit by Victor Wembanyama's ceremonial first pitch. You'd have been beamed in the head. And so,
but that's not where his foot was when he slid, though.
Well, it was still...
His foot was on...
It was still in a spot where you could, if you're reviewing this, in my estimation, not overturn this thing. Like, you're going to give the White Sox a run to take the lead, needing only three more outs to win it. And that's what they did. And Bruce Bochy gets ejected.
Yeah, I was watching this live, and it was nuts.
This is what he had to say after the game. Speaking of another guy from San Francisco going to the Hall of Fame. Ironically, the manager, Buster Posey's manager.
Yep.
Now with the Rangers, here's Bruce Bochy.
For that call to be made, I'm dumbfounded. It's absolutely one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And it was done by replay. I just don't get it. I don't care how many times they'll try to explain it. You can't do that in that situation. It's a shame. It's embarrassing, really.
You thought he had a clear lane to the plate. What did you see on the play?
Yeah, there was never any contact with the catcher. It's a sweet tag. I don't get it. I really don't. I'm just, again, I'm shocked. Jonah did a great job there. The throw took him to the left a little bit. Sweet tag. I'm lost on this one. That's a tough one to take.
Two things. First of all, I forgot. Bruce Bochy was great in 1883. He was awesome.
His voice being Chris Russo.
He was great. I forgot about that.
That's a phenomenal boy.
His voice is amazing.
I think he was Sam Elliott's brother, right?
Is that how you think
he was?
Secondly, I totally agree with him, but here's my take. These are the eggs you got to break to make the replay omelet. It is not perfect. I'm serious. I am, as you know, a huge advocate for instant replay. And this is what happens in Major League Baseball. When you institute replay and you're still, I think they're still working through, I don't know how many years it's been now, but they're still working through it. Now, in the NFL, what's it? The only rule that you can challenge in the NFL to say you didn't call a penalty appropriately is too many men on the field, right?
I believe so.
There's nothing else. There's not like a player safety rule. And I want replay assist in the NFL to fold in picking up a flag on roughing the passer penalties. I want them to fold in throwing a flag on helmet to helmet to help out the officials. But here's a fascinating case that you can challenge a player safety rule not being properly applied in Major League Baseball. That one I didn't see coming. And I think baseball this year with their new rules, man, oh man, I did not like the pitch clock idea. Certainly coming in, seeing all the times that we were seeing pitch clock violations in spring training, coming off of that epic World Baseball Classic confrontation between Ohtani and Trout, and every single pitch that Ohtani threw to Trout would have been a pitch clock violation.
Right.
And I still have those concerns.
Yeah.
But I love the lack of a shift. I don't miss that at all. Does anybody miss that guy in short right field?
No.
Playing third base.
By the way, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they banned the shift and now we have a left-handed hitter batting 400.
Correct.
That is not a coincidence.
I agree with you. That Arias can friggin' rake.
He's got two hits today.
So it's better. And
better.
Replay.
The game is better.
Replay's part of it. It is.
Replay's part of it.
That stunk last night. I do not know. I want to know.
It was tough.
I want to know how they're like, yeah, we're going to overturned a call in something that I can look at it a million times. You were saying it too, TJ, like where was he when he actually applied the tag? But, hey, you can't sit here and say that's conclusive enough to give a go-ahead run to a team that just got wiped out by a great throw and an appropriate tag.
Yeah.
Were you just watching it again over there?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. You guys are absolutely right.
So, but
in a tie game.
Yeah.
If you want to fix it, like, because the number of times I think they should replay, yeah, guy was in the base path, running up the first baseline, you know, he's not in that lane and that, and the number of times umpires will just say, yeah, no, you're wrong. After looking at it again, it infuriates me. And now I'm seeing this, which is kind of similar, although it's not a player safety rule, whether you're in the lane or not running the first from home plate, but to replay a player safety rule, which this is an inappropriate apply it to overturn a run is infuriating, but it is. Replay should be in Major League Baseball. I firmly believe it.
I've had a bigger issue this year with the home plate umpiring. It's tough when you see a ball that's a whole ball and a half outside of the box and it's called a strike.
What are we doing? Brother, I feel for them because they're these Twitter accounts that are like, this was the most egregious missed pitch, 5.53 inches off home plate. Like, and it's there for tweeting out for everyone to see.
Everyone to see. Yeah. Immediately.
That's why I think they're going to automate this stuff. They're going to. Hey, we're heading towards that.
It's coming.
And that's going to be another big adjustment.
Big time.
Having AI refs?
AI refs.
AI refs.
AIR.
Dude.
AIR.
Or umps. AIU. Yeah. Okay. There you have it. Bruce Bochy was great in 1883. Let's just keep. I mean, you got to give it up for him.
How many packs of Marlboros do you think that guy smoked?
So much brown liquor and nicotine.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break because there is, on the day before the NBA draft, a major red flag about one of the top prospects available Thursday night.
And trade rumors right now.
Oh.
No.
We'll be right back. What's going on over there? What's happening? You got to turn your mic on, audio executive.
No. I was just.
What do you got?
I'm going to the airport tomorrow.
What are you going to the airport tomorrow?
I'm doing the playoff game for the USFL on Sunday.
Oh, Fox. So you're leaving town?
Yes.
You're leaving on
a
jet plane?
Next week's going to be a rough week for me.
So Felly's going to be here Friday?
You get Felly tomorrow.
You get
another
Fella Friday?
How many Fellers is next week?
He's only got. I'm doing the Gold Cup, so I don't know when.
What is the Gold Cup?
Gold Cup's a big soccer, like pre-World Cup thing.
Hold on, let me write this down. Gold Cup is a big soccer pre-World Cup thing.
Again, Rich, the hands worry about mixing.
Chris, can you look up the actual official description of the Gold Cup and see if it's one of those, that big soccer pre-World Cup thing? Any of those words, hold on a minute. Big soccer pre-World Cup thing.
2023.
Hold on a second. Stop. Big soccer pre-World Cup thing. How many of those words are in the official description Chris is about to read?
I'd say World Cup.
World Cup.
Not even soccer.
Soccer. No, I'm going to go
I'd soccer.
I'm going to say three.
Three.
So over under 2.5, you take the under?
I'll take the under.
I'll take the over.
Okay.
Chris?
When are you doing this? This is next week?
Starts next week.
Gold Cup. The official description of the Gold Cup is what?
The 2023 CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Yes.
That's the description.
There's no description of what it is somewhere?
Oh, it's the biennial international men's football championship of the North Central American and Caribbean region organized by CONCACAF.
Called the Gold Cup. So the words big soccer pre-World Cup
not
thing,
even
none of them are in there.
The under,
zero.
Zero.
Wow. Damn straight you did. Yeah, I should never go against. Yeah.
It's in the United
States
and Canada.
Against the Price is Right guy. Yeah. Oh, boy. For those listening, you just missed a great segment on our Roku channel segment.
Wow.
Okay. Big soccer World Cup.
We just had our soccer segment.
You're out of your mind.
We just had the World Cup. The World Cup's not for another 3 years.
No, I know. I said pre. It's pre.
It's a pre. It's before the World Cup.
Actually, it's
before the Gold Cup.
The World Cup is here in 3 years.
It is.
I know. And Mexico and Canada.
I'll be working.
It's
going
to be great.
It's big.
I'm going.
It's a world. It's a big soccer World Cup thing.
Brockman. By the way, Brockman, if you get into tickets for that and you don't sell them for SoFi, you're going to be. You want to talk? You can buy a house.
All right.
Let's talk about something important.
Okay.
NBA draft. Victor Wembanyama.
Draft.
First overall pick. Yeah, there's no question.
It's already done.
Honestly, locked, loaded, in.
Locked.
Finished.
Jersey stitch.
Big question.
It's like minus a million.
Big question after that. Who's number two?
Ooh, big question.
Does Charlotte take Scoot Henderson?
The odds have flipped recently.
Or does Charlotte take Brandon Miller?
Yeah, it's trending that way, Rich.
Grind. They're going to grind maybe to the last second.
Michael Jordan involved in the decision.
Okay.
Even though he sold majority stake.
And this is important.
Very.
Brandon Miller, moments ago, asked at his media availability by, let me get this correct, Brandon Scoop B. Robinson of Bally Sports Network, a question. I like the question. The answer is so unexpected. I have to rethink Brandon Miller's draft status.
Rich, we're on the same page.
Okay, I mean, you have to.
The same page.
The answer is nothing short of, with all due respect to the individual involved, alarming.
Well, it sounds like disrespect.
Here we go. Roll it.
You said you're wearing black and red at the draft, right? Jordan wore black and red as a member of the Bulls. Here's my question, unrelated to that. You're young. Older people and young people often have this LeBron and Michael conversation. I'm not going to ask you who's the greatest because that's old. But because you've been in Michael's presence and because you grew up liking LeBron, as a young person, do you feel like that conversation is just overdone?
No, because I actually don't think LeBron is, you know, the GOAT of basketball. I think my GOAT of basketball is Paul George. And, you know, I always grew up watching him, so it's never just LeBron.
I am without speech. I am without speech. Hey, Paul George is a good basketball player. Paul George is a very good basketball player.
Very good basketball player.
One of the greatest basketball players alive.
Excellent basketball player.
Top 30, probably?
Yeah. He's one of the best basketball players in the world.
Better than LeBron?
LeBron James?
Yes.
Unfortunately, no.
Hey. Playoff P.
Hey.
Even playoff P.
Pandemic P.
Palmdale P.
Palmdale P.
All of them together. The GOAT of basketball above LeBron James. Let me tell you something, folks. I know how good Brandon Miller is. I understand.
What is happening?
But Michael Jordan. Not just Michael Jordan. Michael B. Jordan. Anybody named Michael Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Okay. Maybe anybody named Michael or Jordan.
Or Jordan.
Okay.
Okay.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
They know.
Michael Jeffrey.
What Brandon Miller just said is a major red flag. And if I'm in a room evaluating talent and my job's on the line, my job status on the line, my franchise's future.
Your children's college fund is on the line.
Yeah.
is on the line. I got to turn my back on him.
Oh.
I got to turn my back on him.
Godfather style?
Goodfellas style.
That's so crazy.
How crazy is it?
Even LeVar Ball says that's nuts.
Ow.
And I don't know if I want him playing with LaMelo. Even LeVar.
Even when you lose, I win.
Even the guy who apparently took on Jordan.
Yeah, said he could beat him one-on-one.
Even the guy who came up with the big baller brand shoe is saying, that's nuts.
Lonzo did good.
Ow. Big brother, bear with his stay.
10%.
Do you factor this into your thinking tomorrow night when you're on the clock?
See, there has to be some reason, right?
Well, he loves him. He loves him. He grew up.
Are they second, third cousins? Did they attend the same elementary school?
No, he just grew up loving Paul George. He's been a big fan of Paul George ever since he was a baby.
Big baller brand, we here to stay.
Probably models his game after Paul George.
Could be.
You know, there's similar build.
Absolutely understandable.
So there was a report. So Scoot was the favorite for the number two pick. Then Brandon Miller went back in, second workout with the Hornets.
Yeah.
Now suddenly he's the favorite.
Sure.
We need a third workout tonight with just a simple explanation. You know the end of back to school, Rodney Dangerfield has to give that oral test, the oral
just
presentation. We need that, but the explanation of why Paul George is your GOAT. And then that will decide if you're the second pick or not.
I'm in. I'm up for it.
Can't lie to you, Dean Martin.
Jim Gray hosts.
Jim Gray hosts.
And then we don't get an answer.
Until 2 minutes left. Right? Yes. Minute 58, we get the answer. Yes. Let's put him in the...
Another decision.
Let's put him in the checkerboard shirt.
He takes his talents too?
Let's get some kids behind him. Director's chairs.
High school auditorium.
An empty gym in Charlotte. Something.
Come on,
Brandon.
Hey, you guys were talking about how Bijan Robinson and Tyreek Hill came up with their top five running backs of all time. Yeah. Jim Brown's not on it. Emmett's not on it. It's suspect. A different era. We're old. We are old.
That is true.
We are old. It's going to be tough. But at least we're on the cutting edge. We're on a streaming platform that's rising like a bullet.
We're here to educate these
kids. We're old school and new school. We're on terrestrial radio. We're on satellite radio. We're on streaming radio. And we're on the Roku channel streaming.
Ooh, baby.
This is what we're doing.
Like Disco Inferno.
All right. So you got a trade?
Rumors.
Going out the door?
Rumor season is hot.
Okay, what do we got?
Shams, 1 minute ago. Wizards, Celtics, Clippers in strong talks on a trade.
Oh, Chris Paul.
That would send Porzingis to Boston.
Ah.
Marcus Morris and draft picks to Washington. Malcolm Brogdon to the Clippers.
So Chris Paul's not involved?
Chris Paul not involved.
I don't like that.
I like Porzingis. I like that big three.
Oof. Wait a minute. So all the Celtics have to do is give up Malcolm Brogdon and maybe some draft compensation?
Taking on Porzingis has got a big contract.
Who cares?
I don't care. I like that big three. I like
Brown,
Tatum. Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Marcus Smart. Still got Gallinari.
Oh, boys. The Wizards are just having a sale. They're having a sale. And so did the Clippers not want Chris Paul? They didn't just say throw in Chris Paul in this deal?
I don't know what the deal is, man. Ballmer has
so Chris Paul, like, so the Lakers will be like, sure, okay.
Well, Chris Paul's going to get bought out, and then you can get Chris Paul on a much more friendly deal.
Or they're going to hold on to him and get something for him. You know the Lakers want him. What are you going to just let him walk to Los Angeles?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You should not do that. No.
That's what I'm saying.
You should not do that.
He has significant value.
Run, the Lakers don't have a lot of picks to give up.
Porzingis, Wick saying, I got more money. Wherever that came from, here we go.
Scratch a check, Wick. Oof. Is that enough to beat Miami or?
You could have used them against.
We really
Miami.
The problem is Malcolm Brogdon got hurt in the Miami series, which has been his
that
MO.
That wasn't the reason why you went down.
Well, gave away game one and two, had 10-point leads.
Okay, that's true.
Reopen old wounds. Thank you.
I didn't mean to. Wow. Yeah. Going out the door. Porzingis to the Celtics. Malcolm Brogdon, not Chris Paul from Washington to the
my
Clippers.
My initial reaction was no. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Brogdon is nice. Just got done hyping up Brogdon yesterday.
And he's now a teammate of the greatest of all time, Paul George.
Palmdale P.
Brandon Miller's GOAT of basketball. Is it Jordan? Is it LeBron? Is it, you know, if you want to go old school, you can even go older.
He's got a slide on that, man.
We're sliding what?
Out of the top five.
Totally. I'm not going to let him slide on his take.
Malcolm Brogdon. Okay.
You got a hard pass.
Kids these days, though, you know.
Kids these days. They don't know
Malcolm Brogdon, teammate of the GOAT.
They don't know nothing.
Paul George.
We can go home now.
Yes, indeed.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.